Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and now to your calls on doing a dry January routine this year and how it's different in the past with all that's been going on in the last year. And KP in Parsippany, you're our first caller on this. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Good morning. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I've been doing dry January for the past 5 to 6 years. I just find it a good way to reset from all the holidays that previously came up. Of course, the past year it's been COVID, so a lot of that has been thrown into mayhem. But, as you get it, there's holidays, holiday parties, birthdays, things like that, Thanksgiving. And I think it's just a great way to reset the body, start the new year right.
Different for you in any way because of the pandemic or stress from world events or anything?
Yeah, different in a good way, though. Because there's not that many, gatherings or outings in general. For somebody that is doing it for the first time, they might find it easier because of the social pressures that are now not there. Of course, I've been doing it for some time now, so it's a little bit easier, but I do find it easier for me at the sixth mm-hmm. I think I've been doing it for 6 or 7 years now, so it's a bit easier.
KP, thanks for starting us off. Casey in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Casey.
Hey, how you doing, Brian? Longtime fan, big listener. Thanks so much for having me on.
Glad you're on. Doing dry January?
Doing dry January. Didn't think I was going to do it this year because I felt like I needed to be able to have a glass of wine to unwind on the daily. And what I found was it was like so many women. I think you've used the statistic of 41% of us are drinking more. Mm-hmm. And just found the pressures piling on, and during the weekday when I used to skip it, I was no longer doing that, and it was one glass, and then it really needed to be two, and then it had to be two big glasses, and then if I'd already done that on a weekday, it needed to be more on the weekend, and came to sort of a crucial moment where I just said, my God, this has to stop, and it was almost like I needed to prove it to myself that I could and that I should. And my husband joined me last time and he won't join me this time. So it's been a little bit tougher because he still has a glass of wine with dinner. But my resolve got just strengthened. I also decided to start a big diet at the same time. And it's been nice to be able to hit that reset. It's like with everything in my life that is uncontrollable, it resonated that this was controllable. And that was really nice.
Really a good story in that you can make that decision and follow through that it sounds like, and it's in your control. Do you want to talk more about what might be a gender aspect here since you referred to it? Do you think that, I don't know what goes on in your family, if you have kids at home or gender roles or anything like that, but what's striking you about that?
So I think it's really interesting. All of the doctors and the governments come out and say, like, guys can have two drinks and that's okay, and women can only have one. And now all of a sudden, like, I was like, well, why can't I have more? And I think men get a pass. Men get a pass more so, like, it's more accepted because they have more stresses. And right now, I feel like I have far more stress than my husband does. I actually do go to work every day. And when the pandemic hit, I was educating my son at home. And I am commuting and I am working. And all of that piling on is just, it all kind of came to a head. And my daughter is home when she shouldn't be home because she should be in college. And, so all of that kind of came to a head. And as a woman, I think I feel that more. I'm the one that's still grocery shopping and making dinner and making sure that all the papers go into the backpack and, all of that stuff.
Thank you, Casey. Thank you for your openness. I think it's really helpful to other people to hear everything you said, really. Thank you very much.
Sure.
And, and that's why we do this primarily. We don't just want to kind of be nosy about, you know, your relationship with alcohol. People do dry January for a reason. And sometimes, yeah, I had too much at the holidays, I'm going to dry out for a few weeks. And sometimes it's for bigger reasons. And especially this year with all that's going on in the world. And so maybe hearing stories like Casey's, like KP's before hers, just helps other people kind of take a look and figure out what's going on. And, you know, just gives you a little support even from afar through the virtual community of the Brian Lehrer Show to do what's going to be helpful for you. Sean in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling in.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. I embarked on the dry January. I don't do it every year, but I do it periodically. Similar to the last caller, I felt this year that it was really crucial that I do it because, like so many people, my drinking has increased exponentially. I'm a single woman living in New York. I have an amazingly close group of friends, but obviously we just haven't been able to get together. And I think for me, I realized that the drinking to some extent was replacing a lot of the social interaction. So it was really important that I get a grip on that. And it's been mostly successful. I've had a couple of slip ups, just two actually. One when I went out to dinner with friends. We sat outside, obviously. And then the day of the impeachment hearing, it was just all too much. But by and large, it's been really good. I mean, one of the crucial things for me is that my sleep has improved. It really has improved because I don't wake up in the middle of the night with that alcohol interruption that you can sometimes get, you know, even if you just have one drink.
So. Yeah, that rebound effect.
So, yeah. Yeah.
Any advice for people who might be trying to do dry January for the first time or might have an experience like yours where they fall? It doesn't sound like yours was so, you know, serious. You had one drink one time and one drink another time. For people kind of struggling to stay on the straight and narrow with it, any advice?
So two things. One is don't beat yourself up if I guess I'm going to use the term falling off the wagon, but it doesn't mean that you can't get back on. And we are living in really horrible times right now. So you really, like, don't beat yourself up, but continue to try and reduce the alcohol intake. The other thing that I would say is to really understand what's driving you to do it. I mean, for me, that was really critical. Realizing that it was the lack of social interaction. And then, you know, tell people, it keeps you accountable. It absolutely keeps you accountable. So,
Sean, thank you so much. Call us again, please. Lori in Greenwich, you're on WNYC. Hi, Lori.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Doing dry January for the second January now. I did it last year and found it so different than this year, for sure.
In what ways?
Last year I was more sociable and going out a lot more often. So, you know, it was harder. I found myself not going out as much because I was too tempted to go ahead and, you know, have that drink with my girlfriends or other friends. And this year I'm staying home more. So it's easier. It's easier this year. And also we were saying you don't sneak that glass by yourself when you're sitting home during January and there's a pandemic in dry January. So it's making me think more about what I'm doing to myself as far as alcohol goes.
It's so interesting because there do seem to be at least two patterns that people describe. And I don't know percentages of how many people are in one, how many people are in another. But, you know, we hear so much about people gaining weight during the pandemic when they're staying home more. So what do? You go to the kitchen and, you know, you hit the snacks more times a day. And the same might pertain to alcohol, that you'd be more tempted to pass some time by drinking. And
absolutely.
Yet we hear
boredom has a lot to do with it.
Yeah. And yet I've heard some of the opposite too, which is, I think, what you're saying, because you're going out less, you're drinking less, or it's easier for you to drink less. I've also heard people who eat out a lot in normal times say, you know, I'm actually losing weight because I'm cooking for myself more, and therefore I'm eating more healthily than I did in normal times. So both patterns can be true.
Definitely. I definitely feel like I've lost weight, and I wasn't trying. That's not my objective. I was just, you know, wanting to take a break from alcohol. And I've definitely lost weight. I'm definitely sleeping better. And I feel like February 1st, I'll probably be more conscious of my intake as well. And that's what happened last year, too. Come February 1st, I was a lot more alert to things. Mm-hmm. So I hope that happens this year, too. But I was going to also say and share with you, I'm glad I wasn't drinking with Wednesday's insurrection, because that would have made me more emotional. It would have made me even more upset than I already was. So I feel more even. I feel more clear and not so, I don't know, in the sad time, I'm not as sad.
Yeah. I have a friend who was having sleep disruption, and they told me, you know, as soon as Michigan certified their electoral votes, I started sleeping through the night of it. So, Lori,
I know. Yeah.
thank you so much for your call. And Cynthia Jo in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cynthia Jo.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. First-time caller. I decided for the first time ever to do a dry January, and it was a really hard decision for me because I've been drinking socially, having a beer or two or a glass of wine every night since I was about 21 years old. So this is the first time I have done a dry month. And I had tried in the past and failed several times. And it started out, okay, I've done it a few days, maybe a Friday beer, right? And so I've noticed a huge change in my health and my productivity in just this short time. And as a result, in my like emotional state.
And did you say you're sewing after work now? And that's a
That's one of the things. Yeah. So I love to sew. I love projects. I'm very project oriented. But I found that, especially through the pandemic, the first thing I do is I end up reaching for a beer. Well, I'll get to this project, but now I'm done with work. Let me have a beer. And I tell myself all these things. Mm-hmm. And a good friend of mine said to me once, you know, it's the only tool in your toolbox. You have a good day, you get a beer. You have a bad day, you get a beer. Mm-hmm. Think of something else you can do. And that really resonated with me. And since I've stopped drinking in January, I've made all new bedding for myself. I've made my partner four new pairs of pants as I'm trying to fit him. I'm sewing every night. I'm doing projects I like. And because of that, I find I'm happier. I'm doing the things I keep telling myself I want to do, but didn't realize most of the reason I'm putting them off is because the first thing I do when I have spare time after work is grab a beer or a glass of wine.
Cynthia Jo, thank you. And that's another good instructive thing, I think, for a lot of people, is if you're looking for the way not to reach for the beer because it's been a good day, or reach for the beer because it's been a bad day, have that replacement activity, something that you would do first, at least as kind of a buffer, and maybe you'll still have a beer later, or maybe you're going to be more less likely to, if that's something you're trying to cut down on, by having that specific go-to. In her case, she said sewing. She also mentioned to our screener, I know, yoga, so I'll throw that in. So that's also really interesting. All right, let's see if we can do two more. Chris in Westchester, I'm going to give you a minute, and then Sarah in Rhode Island, you're going to get our last minute. Chris, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hey there. Yeah, I decided my dry January is politics. Like, I think that's what really has been affecting my health more than alcohol, so trying to only listen to non-political podcasts. I mean, I know being informed is important, but the reality is most people are just fulfilling their news addiction, and kind of like how my dad thinks if he doesn't watch the Mets, they're going to lose. That's the impact most of our news addiction has. And with alcohol, it's sort of like that's how the only way I know that my workday is over, when I break out the beer. So that would make it harder to know when I've stopped working for the day. That all said, I'd never heard of dry January before until your show, so now I can tackle.
All right. Well, it is good, and I hate to say it because in a way it's not in my interest, but for people who are overdosing on politics. It is good to take a news holiday sometimes. And definitely in these times, there's that push and pull between, you know, there's so much that's new every minute, it seems like, and intense. And at the same time, it's okay if you detach a little bit and then come back. Sarah in Rhode Island, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. Long-time listener, first-time caller. I'm someone who doesn't really drink a lot and I'm like just generally turned off by some of the negative behaviors that I've seen over the course of my life with alcohol and people. But I have to admit that during COVID and not going out as much and being not having to worry about my surroundings, about driving home, I've enjoyed learning about wine and like having a glass of wine here and there and feeling safe and comfortable at home with it. So it's the opposite of dry January, but it's nice too.
So something you've found and in moderation, it's a nice little addition to your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
And with that, we end our dry January call-in. Thank you all for your openness. Again, I hope it helps other people out there who've been listening. And the Brian Lehrer Show is produced by Lisa Allison, Mary Croak, Zoe Azoulay, Amina Cerna, and Carl Boisron. Zach Goddard-Cohen works on our daily podcast. Juliana Fonda and Leora Noam Kravitz at the audio controls. We'll be back Monday for a Martin Luther King Day special. Have a great weekend, everyone. I'm Brian Lehrer.